He could have been out there, I've been anointed, it's going to be me, I'm the next king. Hey, Samuel already told me that I'm the next one. He could have been out there, he could have been full of pride. He's tall, he's a guy more than likely that's built. He could have been out there pumping himself up, campaigning for the job and so on, and he wasn't. He was literally hiding among the stuff. He did not feel himself able. He did not necessarily feel himself worthy. He looked at the position with a position of great responsibility. You know, you look at some people, and some people, it's like the presidency seeks them and other people seek the presidency. And you watch different things, but God raises people up, but God's looking for humility. Saul was little in his own eyes. In general, we need to be a humble people. Saul also was not seeking his own. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:24, it says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." And the idea of put other people first, the idea of looking at it and saying, you know what, it's not going to be, I'm not just out here all about me, but I want to be about others. Boy, that is a necessary trait in a church family and a church body, to be concerned about each other, to not just be looking at it and say, well, how can this church benefit me? But you look at it and say, how can I benefit this church? And the church being the people, but the assembly of the people, the church, I mean, it requires a building and facilities. And I like the fact that there's heat on. I like the fact in the summer that there's some air conditioning. It's kind of nice to have a pad to sit on, not just a hard pew, other than the guys up in the balcony and lady. We look at it and we understand it is a matter of working together. It is a matter also of saying we want to get the gospel out. And what is that? It's seeking the benefit of other people. That is a principle that Saul had in his life, and it is a New Testament principle that is declared to the church. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul declares there to be a problem, and it says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." In that context of that passage, Paul says, the only person I've got to send is Timothy. Timothy is willing, Timothy is able, Timothy is ready to go and be sent, but he's the only one I've got, and he says the reason is because the other people are seeking their own. They're not seeking the benefit of others. They're living for themselves. I want you to consider tonight, who are you living for? First and foremost, we should live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we should also live for our families. Men are to provide for their families. Wives are to be in help meet to their husband, fitted to their husband, to meet the needs of their husband. Fathers and mothers have duties toward the children. Children have duties back toward the parents. And it is a matter of not seeking our own, but others. Occasionally, someone shows up and they say, well, I think I should have this position in the church. And, you know, it happens. You say, who in the world would do that? It happens. And you know what? There are some things that we should consider and some questions that should be asked. And one of the questions that I think in my mind when considering a person, or maybe if a person just comes and says, I think I'm called to something, I look at that situation and I say, have you demonstrated the ability to follow? Because I know this, a person is not worthy to lead if they have not the ability to follow. First of all, following the Lord, then following leadership, anybody that they might be under. Look, if they don't know how to follow, how can they ever lead other people? And so that is a key thing. Another thing that we look at is, what have you demonstrated faithfulness in? Have you demonstrated faithfulness to the church services? Have you demonstrated faithfulness to the Word of God? Have you demonstrated faithfulness to Christian living? Have you an attitude and a desire of faithfulness? Saul had these things. Saul was able to follow. He had, his father had sent him out, and obviously it was not a parent-child relationship. It was a parent that had a business, and Saul being, you know, 39, 40 years old, working and helping in that family business, dad said, hey, go look for the asses that are lost. And he's like, I'm gone. I'm about it. I have the ability to follow. And Saul stuck with it, and he wanted to find them, and he found the means to find out that they were safe. He went out of his way to go and check in with Samuel to see, hey, can you help us with this matter? Saul had demonstrated in his life both the ability to follow and faithfulness in his work for his father and the business that they had. And then here's a third question. How have you sought the benefit of others at cost to yourself? Have you sought out the benefit of other people at a cost to yourself? Look, it's easy to help others when everything is good with yourself. Can you step out of your comfort zone to be a blessing to someone else? Can you step out of your comfort zone? Can you actually step into the place of what would be called sacrifice to be a blessing to someone else, or to missions, or to the church as a whole, whatever it may be? And so when you look at it, Saul did not demonstrate. He was not out there saying, I want to be king. I want to be king. I need a palace. Hey, build it up right now. Let's get this thing going. I've anointed king. And I want to point out to you, as he did that, verse 26, I'll just get that in the next point. Thirdly, so Saul was little in his own eyes. Saul was not seeking his own. Saul was not self-exalting. I know these points are very close to each other, but James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Saul was truly, at this time in his life, a humble person, and God chose him and lifted him up and set him to be the king over his chosen people. That's something. Go with me to Matthew 20. Hold your place here in 1 Samuel 10, but Matthew chapter 20. Verse 26 through 28. Let's go with 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Here's people that he's demonstrating and saying, these people want power over other people. That's their desire. That's their goal. He says, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now look, Jesus Christ, and we dealt with it this morning, he left heaven and came to minister to us and die for us. And in light of that, God exalted him and gave him a name above every name. Literally, Jesus Christ ministered to every human being in history. And he gets the greatest name in history. Saul here is not about self-exaltation. 1 Samuel 10, 26. So it's been announced. The people have cried out, God save the king. In verse 26, it says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. So Saul, he could have immediately said, okay, I'm the king. Let's start work on the palace. Do you realize Saul as king went back to his normal business? He went back to just doing the things they'd normally done. Now, he had some responsibility. I'm sure he was going to be figuring out what that responsibility was. Some of it's going to come to him very shortly, and we'll see that. But we do not see right here an ounce of self-exaltation in the life of Saul. We see him just, you know what? Okay, I'm king. I got a title. Let me just serve. Let me just go about my business. And he did that. And he demonstrates humility. At the same time, Saul took his kingly responsibility seriously. 1 Samuel 11 comes the first test of Saul's kingship. And there is a trial that takes place. Let's read through it. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. So here's the condition. I'm going to come in, I'm going to wipe you out. They say, don't wipe us out, we'll serve you. He says, I'll let you serve me, but I'm going to take out everybody's right eye. Okay, that's some pretty harsh conditions. And look at their response, verse 3, and the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, and then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. These are interesting conversations they're having back and forth. And Ammon, okay, agreed to it. Ammon did not think that anyone would come to help. They thought they had this. They're going to take over this group of people. They're going to take out their right eyes. And then they're going to make them serve them. And that's the conditions. Then came messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. What's Saul doing? The same thing he'd always been doing. He got a different title. You know, look, if a person looks and says, you know what, I want to go and be a missionary, what are you going to do? Well, you better already be serving in your local church and demonstrating that service. It's not like, oh, all of a sudden you're going to start doing something for the Lord. No, it's a continuation of what you're already doing. And so he looks at this, and he came out of the herd, came after the herd out of the field, verse 5, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled. Now look, he's looking at this situation. He's saying, wait a minute, these are my people. I'm the king now. I have a responsibility to these people. You can't take out my people's eyes. And you see coming up, guided by the Spirit of God upon Saul, a man who has been meek, who has been laid back, who has been in the background, who has just gone back to his business, and all of a sudden he realized, I've got some people to be ministered to. And I can't do it alone. And Saul says, verse 7, he took a yoke of oxen, hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel. Even in this, Saul is not operating on self-confidence. He's like, Samuel's been the leader for all this time. Now, I'm the king. You know, really, Samuel's the more important guy. Samuel's the one that anointed me to the position. He says, I want you to follow me and Samuel. What you see the humility in this? Where he's calling out the name of Samuel because he's not self-confident. He's not just looking to be self-exalted. So shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out in one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000 and the men of Judah 30,000. They've got 330,000 men that have showed up. Now part of it, the fear of God was on them. They didn't want their oxen all hewed up. But part of it, they just like, you know what? There's been a call for our help. 330,000 men, that's a lot of men. And they show up, and it says in verse 9, they sent unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad, you think? Verse 10, therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. Yeah, they know. What amazes me is these messengers were just allowed to freely come and go. Verse 11, and it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Wow! What a great victory! And Saul stepped up, took the responsibility of king, ministered to the people that he was over, was not seeking self-exaltation in doing it, but he took the job that he had seriously. You know, every part of the work of God is serious. It was a blessing to me to watch. I walked in here last night and the mopper, I don't want to embarrass people, but the mopper was not only mopping the choir room, but the closet. And the statement was made, I think the Lord would like the closet to be clean. You know, that blessed my heart. It's just like, hey, we have something to do. Let's do it with our might for the Lord. And let's just serve God. If you've got a Sunday school class to teach, you've got people to minister to. If you've got a bus route to run, you've got people to minister to. If when we're going out knocking on doors, there's people to be ministered to. Whatever the task may be, it is a worthy task. And it is worthy of our effort. And God says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And Saul here, he took his kingly responsibility seriously. He used the authority that he had for the betterment and help of others. What a blessing. A little bit different from what Jesus described the Gentiles as being, right? Do you take what position's been giving you and use it for the betterment of others? That's what he did. Then, I want you to notice 1 Samuel 10:27, then we're coming back to 11. 10:27, when Saul was anointed king, it says, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. And Saul said, but he held his peace. He was king. There were people saying, he's not a king. He was hiding by the stuff. We're not bringing him any presents. We're not doing anything. And Saul just didn't bother him. Saul held no animosity toward those who did not think him worthy. This is a character trait of meekness. When someone would do you wrong, and it doesn't change your character and who you are. That's a great quality. We describe meekness like you throw the rock in the river, there's some ripples that go out, but ultimately then the river just keeps on flowing. That's meekness. And Saul is demonstrating meekness here. Look at 1 Samuel 11, verse 12 and 13. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. Now they've had this great victory. They've looked at Saul. Saul stepped up, took his responsibility. Now the people are behind him and they're saying, I want to know who those people were that said Saul shouldn't be king. We're going to kill him. Very good spirit and attitude there, isn't it? And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. What a spirit of humility. It would have been, remember, when you got a crowd doing something, what do people usually do? Follow the crowd. And that can get people in trouble. And Saul's got a crowd of people saying, let's kill these people that are against you. Do you know how easy it would have been for him to just go right along with that? Say, yeah, I'm king. And Saul says, no. Humility, meekness, no self-exaltation. Wait a minute. Yeah, they may not have received me, but I'm still here to minister to them. They're still my subjects. I'm their king. I want the best for them. Oh, the spirit that we need to have. Sometimes people break your heart. You still want the best for them. I hope. Sometimes people do the wrong thing. You still want the best for them. I hope. He had no animosity toward those who did not think him worthy. And then lastly, Saul is able to rejoice together with the men of Israel. Verse 14 and 15. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Saul did not separate himself up and set himself up and say, yeah, this is my victory. He got down with the people. He says, this is our victory. You know, you had the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. You know, it's not a one-person thing. We're working together. It's a blessing to have the opportunity to be the one that was able to actually lead them through the scriptures, and they pray there and get saved. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a joy to be the one to be able to do that? Sure. But what difference does it make whether Brother Reed does it, or whether Brother Schrock does it, or whether Brother Ballou does it, or whether Brother Benjamin does it? It doesn't matter. When somebody gets saved, there's joy in the presence of the angels. God rejoices. And when there's a victory within the church family, praise God together. And when there's hurt in the church family, we hurt together and we pray together for the hurt. 1 Corinthians describes the church as a body. When one part's not doing well, kind of affects the whole thing. And Saul here, he just takes this great victory and he gets down with the people and they rejoice together because ultimately he knew he didn't have the victory. God had the victory. You look at this. What a man. What an incredible example of humility Saul displays in the early part of his reign here. And you know what? In this, you still see not one sign of mental instability in the mind of Saul. Now, we know history later on, something goes wrong with him. But we look at this, and what we looked at last week, what we've looked at this week, if you want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the characteristics that we have seen in Saul last week and this week are characteristics that will help us to be mentally sound, to be stable people, to be faithful in what we're doing, and to be that steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's grab a hold of these characteristics. We saw several last week. Today, really, the whole of it is humility. Humility. And God being our help, we need to be a humble people because we don't have anything to be proud of. Give the glory to God. Let's rejoice together over what He does. And what a blessing. This, I look at Saul and it grieves my heart because I know what's coming. But if I were to look at somebody and say, I want an example right here, man, I would see a good example for what I ought to be, what you ought to be, what we all ought to be. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we know that humility is important. We know that seeking others and not our own is important. God, help us to strive to be a blessing and help to others. God, help us to operate in every part of our ministry in humility. God, help us just to think about serving you and serving others. And God, give us a spirit within our church body, our church family, God, of just caring for others and demonstrating that care on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. God, help us when you give us a task to do it to your glory and not for our own. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So piano plays. Would you come and talk to the Lord? Blessing, isn't it? And let's learn from the good things that a person has to offer. We'll also have to look at the other side, and we're coming to that. But what a blessing. What a just a blessing to look at the early life of Saul. Have a great week. Serve God. If anybody needs tracts to hand out, they're down here. We'll have a basket here for the paper clips. If you hand out all five, bring the paper clip back, put it in the basket. We'll know how many tracts got out this week. Just a little challenge, a little something to keep us thinking about lost people. We get busy in our own lives. Let's be thinking about those we need to minister to and to seek after. All right? Have a great week.